Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Sit, you know, and they're crying that they're signing a mortgage. I was crying that I was signing a mortgage too, but not for the wrong reasons. I said to the bank manager, I said, I'm nearly crying signing this, you know, because it's a provision of God. It's a provision of God. And, you know, God has many names. One of those names that I learned to hang on to very early on in my Christian walk was Jehovah Jireh. The God who provides. And you know, he's Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. He is Jehovah Naphtali, you know, God our righteousness. You know, he is God Shalom, God our peace. The very names of God speak of his character. And so when you're thinking to yourself, oh, you know, God's hammering me today, it ain't God. It's not in his character. It's not in his character. He wants to bless you. He wants to increase you. He wants you to go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. And when things are going wrong in your life, well, you know where that's coming from. It could be just your bad decision making. Who knows, we make a few bad choices. Or it could be just an enemy that doesn't like you very much. And we have the victory over him. He's more fearful of you than you are of him. And we walk in the victory. And we ultimately will gain the victory. Open your Bibles, if you've got them this morning, to one of the books. Anyone's pretty good. They're all good for reading. But in our instance, we're going to turn to, if I can get my machine to go properly. I love the name of God, Jehovah Rapha, as well. It's one of my favorites, the God that heals. And he is an amazing healer as well. And we're going to see more healings in the kingdom. God's doing something quite remarkable. Turn with me, stick your finger in Joshua 20, if you would. And in the Old Testament. And who knows, the Old Testament's a really good place if you want to learn about the character and the nature of God. In the Old Testament, God had to be appeased every year because there had to be a sacrifice given every year. And today, some people act as if God still needs to be appeased, as if he's angry, if he's upset. Those people do not understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Once and for all. Atonement for sin. Boom. Done. On the cross. 3.5 hours. Job's done. It is finished, Jesus said, on the cross. And now the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, you've got to be careful not to read it as if you're reading about the angry God. He was angry back then, and he had good reason to be. They weren't doing what he was asking them to do. But God's not angry in the New Testament. He's not angry with you today. He's not angry with the church today. That's not the way he works. It's not in his character. He never wanted to be angry. God's never had a bad day in his life. He's always full of joy and happiness gladness and thankfulness. And since there's no other name greater than his own, he's thankful by his own name. That's pretty cool. I think about those scriptures and I go, you're thankful at your own name? Now, if I said that, that would just sound arrogant. But when God says it, you go, whoa. That's just amazing. Anyway, so you got one finger there in Joshua. So I just want to read out. We want to be a church. We want our church to be a place of refuge, where people can find refuge for their soul, where they can find repentance, acceptance, value and belonging. We don't want to be a place that acts like religious Pharisees that look down the nose at those we think we are better than in some way or another. Holier than thou attitudes. Or a place where you have to conform to a particular look or culture to be used by God in our church. We don't want that. We want you to be you. And we want you to be the best you can be. Don't dress like I dress, and I dress pretty poorly anyway, but don't dress like I dress. Don't dress like Diane dresses. Don't speak like I speak. Speak the way you speak. Speak the way that God speaks to you and speaks through you. I was so excited when they told me that Shane was going to give a communion. I was chomping at the bit. He just said, I'm glad I was. But, you know, it's just so good. I love Shane. He's an awesome guy. He is. He's awesome. I love him to bits. He is incredible. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you come in the socio-economic world. I don't care whether you're the poorest person living out of your car with a suitcase in the trunk or whether you're living in a mansion. I don't care. I treat you all the same because for me, we're all about the church and all about the kingdom. Amen? And, you know, we rip down those walls of things that separate us. We tear them down. I was thinking in prayer. Sorry, I was thinking this morning when we were doing worship. I was thinking about Arthur. And I was thinking, I didn't see Arthur on the door this morning, but I'm sure you were on the door. Were you on the door, Arthur? Yeah, he was. He was on the door. I didn't see him. I must have come in too early or too late or something. But, you know, I was thinking about Arthur and I was just thinking, here is a man, 80-something, not five, six? 89. 89. Holy dooly. He's 89 years of age and he's coming in and he's listening to this modern rock music. And I'm thinking, you know, the songs that they sang in Arthur's day, like, you know, I surrender all. And God said to me, you guys should sing that. So we did. That was for you, Arthur. Because we love you. It probably wasn't, but, you know. But, you know, we got to be, it doesn't matter how old you are either. It doesn't matter how young you are. We had Sticks up on the overhead this morning. How old are you, Sticks? Eight, nine, he's nine. We use anybody. We use everybody. And that's who we are in our church. We don't care how smart you are or if you haven't got an education. We couldn't care less. We love everybody. That's who we should be as a church. We want to be a church where people can get free and allowed to be themselves in Christ Jesus. And that includes freedom from religious works. When I first became a Christian, you were only being godly if you said, thou art the Lord. How art thou? Because we'd read out of the old KJ. And the old KJ was these and thous and that's and arts and all those things. And they had these words in it that I used to always fall over. And these great big long words that they would use to mean things like the propitiation of your faith. And I'd have to go and look it up every time. It just means that you're saved. Why don't I just say that? But we don't want to be religious. I don't want to look good on the outside and have a dirty cup on the inside. See, Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out. It's what's on the inside that comes out that defiles us. And that's why we shouldn't swear. It defiles us. We're defiling the cup. Our speech should be good, kind and gentle, building, encouraging, strengthening, never pulling down, never tearing down, never judging and never condemning, but always loving and believing the best of our brothers and sisters, especially those of the household of faith. It's great to see Regan this morning. I love that man. He's awesome. He's awesome. I met Regan in 1995. And he's still got the same haircut, by the way. He would not be him if he changed that haircut. We love him. He's awesome. You know, and you're also awesome. You're all awesome. Yeah, that's right. So Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You know, I'm amazed. You know, I get up and of a morning and I open up my Facebook and I see 7 or 8 entries there from Jen, which is awesome. I know Jen's awake then. She's done 7 or 8. Good. She's just waking up. It's just happening. You know, and they're always encouraging. They're always strengthening. You know, Shirley jumps on and she'll have some stuff up there as well. And you know what, guys? We're living in an age where you can encourage somebody while you're laying in your bed. How good is that? How good is that? Even on the other side of the world, how incredible is it that we would have a voice like that? So make that voice positive. Make that voice encouraging. Make that voice exalting, not pulling down. That we might be a refuge for people who are in deep need of God. The shadow of the church is shown, of course, in the Old Testament. And the cities of refuge, we're going to read in a moment in Joshua, was a shadow of what the church was going to be like. And some people say, well, no, the refuges were really the shadow of penitentiary. You know, what are they called? Penitentiaries? Jails. But yes and no. Yes and no. It's really a shadow of the church. It's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be willing to accept anybody, whoever, the whomsoever will come. We'll accept them. And not everyone will fit here, but they'll fit somewhere in the kingdom. Amen? And for us, it's good for me as a minister of the gospel to know the other ministers and what they're doing and what they're doing in their churches. Because sometimes people come to me and I go, well, you know, if you don't feel that you fit here, I know this church down the road is doing this amazing thing here that I know you've got a heart for. And I can sow them into that church. And I don't mind when people leave. I don't have a problem with that as long as they go somewhere and they sow themselves in. But if they just go out into the desert to die, well, what profit is that? Nothing. Because we're supposed to be connected in. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves, as the manner of some is. But even more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Who knows that we're a little closer to the day of the Lord than we were a few years ago? We hold nobody. We coerce nobody. We manipulate nobody. We make ourselves of no account that he might be glorified. A pastoral friend of mine rang me this week and he said, oh, I just really want to talk to Keith. And I said, man, I'm nobody, mate. I'm nobody. And he says to me, you're not nobody, mate. You're a leader in the kingdom. You're a champion. He encouraged me straight away. And I wasn't saying I was nothing. I wasn't saying I was lowly. You know, I wasn't saying I was less than somebody else. I was really saying, why come to me? What do I have to offer you? And he wrote me a letter, and in the letter he said, I really just wanted to be accountable to somebody. That's a real honor when somebody says, I really want to make myself accountable here, and this is what I'm thinking. Who knows, out of the wisdom of many counselors, a thing is established. It's just wisdom. Before you make any decision, ask around. Not like Job. His mate's not so good. He asked his mates, you know, why do you think all this stuff's happened to me? Oh, because you've sinned. God hates you. Blah, 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 blah. I would have got new mates. That was shocking. In the end, he rebukes them. Job rebukes them himself. Anyway. But we are to be a place of refuge. Verse 1 of chapter 20. The Lord also spoke to Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there, and that there shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. So in the Old Testament, if you accidentally killed somebody and their family caught up with you, you were gone. They'd do you in. But you could flee to a city, and that city would be a refuge for you. And if you'd committed other sins, you could also go to the city of refuge, and you could stay there until... And we'll read that in a minute. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. In the New Testament, we would call that repentance. When you come into church and you come into the house of God, if you have committed sins, repent. Repent of your sins. Can't go into heaven with them. You've got to deal with them. So repent of them and God will forgive you for them. 1 John says, if we confess our sins one to another, he is just and able to forgive us our sins. Amen? But most of the time we try and hide our sins. We try and pretend like, you know, if we just hide them, they'll just go away. It doesn't work like that, church. We need to confess our sins, what we've done, so that God can forgive us of our sins and we can move on with Jesus. And it's not that there's condemnation. I'm not talking condemnation. If you start condemning yourself, slap yourself around a bit. It's not the right way, but it's just a matter of all things in order. If you sin, recognize the sin. Go to your brother and sister, whoever, in confidence. Okay, I need help here. Blah, blah, blah. Let's pray. It's simple. It's a simple gospel. It's not hard. Then if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into the hand because he has struck his neighbour unintentionally. But he... This is an interesting verse. But he did not hate him beforehand. So if you killed somebody because you just hated them, that's called murder. And they weren't allowed to have somebody in the city for that. That had to be dealt with by the appropriate method. In those days it was... And he shall dwell in the city until he stands before the congregation for judgment. So judgment still happened. So it wasn't like, you know, they could come into the city and all was forgiven and, you know, all was good. And it's the same for the church. We need to deal with our stuff, church. Got to deal with it. It's not a condemnation. It's not pulling down. It's not, you just got to deal with your stuff. Got sins in your life, deal with them. If you need help for something, I love what Val said. Val? No. Shane said about getting help. He got help. He had alcoholism and he decided to go and get help. That's wisdom. That's just wisdom. You go and get help. If you got something you can't deal with yourself, go and get help. Come and talk to one of your brothers and sisters. The church is the church. We'll help each other. We'll look after you. We'll find something, some way to help you. Because we love you. Get rid of shame. Jesus nailed your shame to the cross. Boom. It's nailed to the cross. Don't be shamed. Just deal with the stuff. And if we can deal with our stuff, we'll start to see God face to face. He'll talk to us. We'll talk to him. He'll lead us. Not that he won't anyway. He will. But there's just, when there's nothing between you and God, and you know there's nothing between you and God, man, that puts you in a whole nother place. Doesn't make you better than the person beside you. It just means that you've got a relationship with our Father in heaven. And he shall, until judgment or until the death of the one who is high priest in those days, then the slayer may return and come to his own city and his own house, to the city from which he fled. So if a judgment was laid down that, now, that was an accident, blah, blah, or the high priest died, he could go home. So they appointed, and then it goes on to say which cities that they should do. Then in verse 9 it says, these were the cities appointed to all the house of the children of Israel for the stranger and for the stranger. And catch that. And for the stranger who dwelt among them that killed a person accidentally. Might flee there. See, we're a house of refuge for everyone. Everybody. For everybody. Diane's tugging at a... Have I got something funny here? No? Whatever. But these are the guidelines, I think... And I call them guidelines, because I don't like rules. Oh, I like road rules. Road rules are good. I like road rules. I like the laws of our land. I like them. Most of them are based on the Ten Commandments. I like that. You know, but rules for the sake of rules, or to make you comply, or so that you conform to some way or another of thinking or action, I don't like that. Because I want you to be you. But in that, sometimes there are good guidelines. I'll give you some guidelines. I don't meet with ladies on my own. Except my wife. I meet with her alone as often as I'm able. But I don't meet with ladies on my own. And everyone knows that. I just don't do it. I don't meet with children on my own. It's just sensible. It's a guideline. And have I broken it from time to time? If I'm at work and I'm in a workplace and I'm in a vehicle with a lady, yeah, well, I'm breaking it. You know, it's the way it is. But that's my general rule. And I stick to it wherever I can. And it has kept me safe. Very, very, very safe. I read books of pastors that have fallen, and they'll say things like, oh, yeah, I used to minister with the door shut with ladies and, you know, counsel. And I think, well, that's just stupid. Like, it's just stupid stuff waiting to happen. I was reading an account of, I can't remember his name. I think it was A.A. Allen or one of those guys. And he, the very first time that he cast a demon out of a lady, he happened to have, she was in his office and she started ripping her clothes off. And he thought to himself, this is how ministers get in trouble. Yep. And it was a devil. There was a devil involved. From that point on, he had this rule. Smart man. So, little rules, little guidelines can keep you safe. I don't spend more than I earn. Who knows, that's a good idea. Does it ever happen sometimes I spend more than I earn? Yeah, it does from time to time. But I have enough to cover it and I know I can. So little rules like that will keep you protected. We are not a respecter of people, as if one is more important than another. If someone famous or celebrity comes in, please don't take a selfie and a photo. Don't take any particular notice of them more than you would any other brother or sister in Christ or any other new person who might come in the door. And you're thinking, you're looking around thinking, a famous person's going to come in here? You just don't know. You just don't know. And so we need to be a people that are honouring God by not respecting one person better than another. If the Queen walked in, I might be a bit funny about that, maybe. Or, you know, I might be a little, but I suspect when she brought in the 300 people that all hang around her, we'd be a full church anyway. You know, like, we're not a respecter of people. God is not impressed by fame or the applause of the world. Neither are we. Do not be a respecter of persons. God's not. We don't exalt one over another due to a person's perceived value. Everyone is just as important as the next person in God's eyes. Turn to the person beside you and say, you're important. I want to tell you what, that person beside you is a son or a daughter, a king or a queen in the kingdom. That changes it, doesn't it? King or a queen in the kingdom. A son and a daughter of the living God. That makes us heirs and co-heirs of a kingdom greater than the one that we're in. Pretty cool. We are a safe place. a place where people can come and learn to move in the Holy Spirit. I won't come down on someone if they get it wrong or they prophesy a word. You know, prophecy, judge prophecy. You should judge prophecy. I get them wrong. And if you don't go, oh, that was just wrong. Don't believe that for 1 minute. You don't do that. You take the word and you put it on the shelf. I've got many prophecies on my shelf. But I write down every single one. Every single one. Even the ones that don't make sense to me. I write them down. Because one day, God might just put his finger on that particular word. And I'll need to remember it. Ah, that was a word from God back in 1996. That was a word from God in 2003. Wow, that was a word from God 30 minutes ago in the prayer room. Never let God's word fall to the ground, ever. If you've got prophetic words and you've got them on tape, get them off the tape and onto writing so you don't lose them. Because there's nothing more important than God's word to you. I got a word back in 1999 from a friend of mine, Stuart Pryson, and I treasure that word. I treasure it because it's so important. It was one of the first prophetic words I got, and that word was for now. 20 years later, and I'm starting to see the words that he said then come to pass. And then I went, is he mad? I'm not going to be a pastor in a church. What's he talking about? I've been a pastor in 3 churches now. But the words that were spoken will come to pass if they're God. So we want to be a safe place where people can. You know, when you go to Pete and Jenny's place for prayer, you know, they pray for everybody and they prophesy everyone. They get everybody to pray and to prophesy. I encourage you to go. Learn to hear from God. Learn to the prophetic. I'm standing in the prayer room today and we're praying over Brett and Rosie, and I just felt that, in the spirit, it went, oh, is there a problem? And so I prayed for a medical condition, you know, on Rosie. Why? Because God's interested in that stuff. So we've got to learn to use it. Don't be afraid of being wrong. You will be. There'll be times when you just completely get it wrong. Here's one real, real good example. If you hear, you're a rotten scumbag, it's probably not God. If you hear, oh, your sins have come up before the Lord, it's probably not God. Because God has separated us as far as the east is from the west from our sins. Is he going to bring up your sin in your face? No, of course not. So if you get a word like that, you can go, oh, that was a prosthetic word. Only 2 people got that. A prosthetic word, you know, fake limb, you know, prosthesis, you know. But we're a safe place. We're an accepting place. Because we're not a respecter of people. I don't care about your education. I don't care about your nationality. I don't care about your financial standing or your political affiliations. I don't care about your marital status. And I don't care if you're a male or a female. Can you preach the word in Central Life Church if you're a woman? Of course you can. Hello. And that'll upset, I'll get some Facebook comments about that. But, you know, in the kingdom there is neither male nor female, nor Jew nor Greek. Your nationality means nothing. And whether you're a male or a female means nothing. We accept and receive all as Jesus accepted and received us into his kingdom. Amen? We're a refuge. We're a city of refuge. We don't make judgments. Judge not that you be not judged, for whatever measure you meet, it shall be met back to you. Man, I can't tell you how many times some person has come up and tried to throw some judgment on me. And I think, man, you should be real careful, because exactly what you're saying to me is going to happen to you. You just don't go there. Don't make a judgment that God didn't make, because it's going to bite you on you know what. That's not good. And I'm amazed at how many people will go, oh man, I've had this happen and I've had that happen. And I think, well, you've made judgments in that area, so that's what's happening. We've got to take the plank out of our own eye before we take the speck out of our brother's or sister. Come on. Let's not judge one another. It's bad news. It's not good. Love one another. So we don't judge, especially those in the household of faith. And we're not religious. I hate religion with a passion. Can't stand it. Don't like religious. If you come up to me and be all religious, mate, you won't get a good response. And Jesus never gave him a good response either. Do you notice in the scriptures, the only people he really hammered were the religious people? Because they were saying one thing and doing another. They were all nice and clean on the outside. There are some places where if you don't dress in the right type of clothes, you can't be in the worship team. If you don't have your hair done a certain way, you can't be in the worship team. If you don't wear shoes, you can't be in the worship team. We've had people up there where I thought, man, it'd be nice if they put some more clothes on. Or, well, they got no shoes on. That's nice. Yeah, you know, it's a holy ground. Holy ground. They got their feet off. Their shoes off. You see what I'm getting at, though, can't you? I don't care what you look like. I don't particularly care how you sound. If you've got a heart after God, that's all I care about. If you're a worshipper and you want to worship God, you can be in the music team. Sorry, Brett. Sorry, Diane. Because I'm not interested in that. I'm more interested in worshippers. And so is God. God wants worshippers. Not people who look good on the outside. God looks at the heart. Amen? This is an interesting verse. Matthew 5 and verse 20 says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Oops. We need to be a step above the religious system, because it's got to be reality. We're not putting on a show. We're not putting on pretense. We're not pretending to be good. We're open and honest and transparent with one another. What's on the inside is what you hear. Open, honest, and transparent. We live in Christ by faith. The law we live by is the law of the Spirit of God. Not the letter of the ordinances that bring death, but the Spirit that breathes life. We're not condemning. Romans 8 verses 1. "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but are called after the Spirit." I think I got that wrong. I I better read it. It's always good to read them. I think it's close to that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Back a few verses, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, and for what I will to do, that I don't practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We're all going to do wrong, church. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to sin. We do it every day. We say the wrong thing in the wrong place at the wrong everything. There's no condemnation in Christ. Don't allow condemnation to come in. Don't allow yourself to condemn even yourself. You don't have the right, because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. I better finish here. Better crash this plane. I just want really to tell you from my heart who we are as a church. That's our DNA. That's who we are. We accept everyone. We love everyone. We're not a respecter of people. And we will grow, church. God has promised us that we will see growth. Because there are people out there who are stuck where they're being controlled, they've been manipulated, they've been coerced. And I say this all the time, the only thing that can come from control is revolution. I'm not here to manipulate you or to control you. I want you to be free in Christ, completely free. Let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for this church, Central Life Church, Father, that we are a place of freedom, because where your Spirit is, there is freedom. Father, we seek your Spirit above all things. We seek your face above all things. We want to be face to face. We want to walk on miraculous waters, Father God. We want to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That's what we want to do, Lord. We want to walk on the miraculous. But we know we can only do that, Lord God, when we are transparent between one another and between ourselves and you, Lord God. And we are just completely transparent before you this morning, Lord God. And we just ask you to move by your Spirit over this place. I pray, Lord, for the evangelists, Lord God, that you'd speak to them and get them to encourage people into the house, Father God. That we would see new souls. That we would see brand new babies in Jesus born. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that we would be the kind of church that demonstrates your kingdom because we love one another. And that love is shown to everybody, especially to those in our house here. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to thank everyone publicly as well for praying for Rick. Rick, we went and saw him last night and he was his normal naughty self. He had a big smile on his face and he was actually able to get up out of his bed and walk around a small area, but he was able to walk around. When we saw him on Monday when he was first in hospital, he was telling us that he was ready to go home and that he felt that he was ready to go, and we went, no, we're not having that, thank you very much. And he said, well, I'm pretty old. And we said, so how old are you? And he goes, oh, 60 something. And we went, that's not old. That's not old. You've got another 20 or 30 years of ministry yet. And we prayed over him, we blessed him, and we asked God to just, you know, I certainly didn't want to have sorrow after sorrow, you know, to have somebody lose somebody in the house, amen. And so God's been very gracious to us and has blessed us by helping Rick. They put a stent in his heart, and he showed us a picture before and after. And I'm thinking, wow, it's lucky he was alive at all. It was the vessel was almost closed, and they put a stent in. And so he's on recovery. So if you're on Facebook, look, jump onto his thing or onto Maria's, and just encourage them and bless them. Don't everybody inundate him. He'll be back home on Monday, maybe. He might be home on Monday. So maybe just check with Maria on Facebook. On Messenger, whether or not it's okay. Because he's still going to have to rest for the next several months while he recovers. But I'm just so thankful that he's okay. Amen. So thank you for praying. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contact us@centrallife.com.au.